The GAA program with Tom Comack. Brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, station roundabout Letterkenny. Gear up for the next big game from the great range of clubwear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
GAA Vegas Falcher, good Clara, along coming new class here. Shocked in a show with me, Tom Comack, as always, here with you on a Wednesday night until 9 o'clock. Another busy program lined up for you tonight. Of course, Donegal in minor Ulster Championship action this weekend. They host Tyrone, our neighbours, in Ballybuffet on Sunday evening, or Saturday evening, 6 o'clock throw in for that one. It's one of four games down for decision in the Ulster Minor Football Championship. Kavanagh at home to Fermanagh, Armagh entertaining Derry, of course, last year's beaten finalists, and Antrim host Monaghan. Monaghan, of course, defeated down last weekend in the preliminary round, 113-110. That's how that one ended. Monaghan once again under a Seamus Banty McEnany. We're going to be joined by Donegal assistant minor manager Sean Clerkin in the absence of Gary Duffy, the manager, tonight a little bit later on. But first, the big story of the week, I suppose, here in Donegal, and it's become a big national story, really, covered both on RTE and News Talk and all the big national channels, is the controversial proposed ban on Niamh Columbkill in Newton Cunningham, the club, for participating or allowing their property to be used for a charity fundraising soccer tournament back in mid-February. And well, I'm joined on the line now by actually the man who broke that story, the man who scooped us all this weekend, Damien Dowds, editor of the Inishowen Independent. And well, Damien, it's certainly a big story. Tell me, what has Niamh Columbkill done to be facing into an eight-week playing ban?
They ran a fundraiser on their second pitch to raise money for a man who has got a very devastating motor neuron disease diagnosis, a man called Paul Dillon, who used to play for the club and who used to coach with the club. Yeah. And they're getting eight weeks, suspension over that.
Yeah, and as we said, you scooped us all this week and got the story. Do you find it a strange suspension? Not in terms of, okay, even guilty or innocent or whatever, but suspending a team when it's a club that's at fault?
Yeah, well, they're going to suspend. The plan is to suspend the entire club, all the adult members of the club, so the officials, the administrators, the Niamh Columbkill adult teams, their coaches. That's what's in line under this suspension. That it's a club-wide ban. So the punishment for running an unauthorised tournament laid out in the official guide is a €500 fine, and also the club liable for 8 weeks suspension. So I mean, it's a very, very, very harsh application of a rule. And you know, it's really kind of, it's like a decision that's almost been taken devoid of the context.
And well, let's talk about context. How big was this tournament, and who played in it, and who was involved in it?
Well, I mean, to call it a tournament, Tom, is to probably, you know, gild the lily a wee bit on it. Like, you know, I mean, this really was a gather up. Like, I mean, this there was no. This isn't as if it was some kind of soccer tournament run under FAI rules, where FAI registered clubs taking part. This was a gather-up. A lot of boys that would have known Paul Dillon, a lot of family members and friends, like, you know, I'll put in a team of five, Tom, can you put in a team of five?
Seven sides, though, you need two more.
an old cod, mostly with old boys my age, 40s and more, like, you know, playing in it. There was mixed teams in it, like, you know, I mean, it was really just a gather-up of a thing, and really what it was just local people that would have played maybe Gaelic and soccer over the years, along with Paul Dillon and with others involved with the Newton Club, coming together, paying a tenner or €20 a head, putting it into the pot, and that pot then going towards the fund, like, to help Paul and his family kind of come to terms and cope and amend and refurbish their house to take account of the fact that...
Yes, put us in the context to why this fundraiser was for Paul Dillon.
Hi, so Paul Dillon, very sadly and very unfortunately, got a motor neuron disease diagnosis just after Christmas of last year, or maybe early this year. Like, and Paul, having played with Niamh Columbkill down through the years, Paul, in later years, you know, became a very accomplished athlete and very accomplished runner. I mean, this time last year, he'd been running marathons. And today he's in a wheelchair because this terrible disease has struck him down.
Yeah. And that was only diagnosed very early this year, was it?
That's it. At the back end of last year, he got that diagnosis. Like, and you know, the Niamh Colum Kill Club, like GAA clubs up and down the country, what do they do when one of their own is in need? Well, they pull together and they come together, and they do what they can, and they run a fundraiser. And in the Newton area, over a period of maybe 4 or 5 weeks, the community, there was an organising committee there, and they organised a whole series of events. There might have been 20 different things that went on. There was a 5K, there was coffee morning in Cairns where Paul works, there was concerts down in the Greenland Hotel and down the Redcastle Hotel. There was lots of little events going on, and the GAA's contribution to this was to allow the second pitch, the back pitch at Newton, a former soccer pitch as it happens, to be used for a kick-around way, a gather-up kind of thing.
And was there many clubs involved in it? You know, was there many clubs taking part in this tournament?
I don't think any club at all took part in it, Tom. Like, I literally don't... Like, I don't think that, you know, Cockhill Celtic or Killeigh FC or Buncrana Hearts or Alia or any of those teams put in teams. Like, it was, you know, I'll put in a team and I'll bring five with me, Tom. That'll be 100 quid for the pot. And you put in a team and you bring five with him, there'll be another. Like, that's how it was done. Like, they... Mm. Like, calling it a tournament is... You know, it's probably stretched a wee bit, and yet that is the basis and the grounds under which they have been penalised, because it turns out that they didn't have permission to run a tournament, so they have been penalised now on the basis of running an unauthorised tournament.
And tell me, how did officialdom hear about it, or how did it come to that they've got the suspension?
Well, I think. You know, an organising committee was organising a series of events, and they needed a pitch to run the thing on. And on their behalf, then the Niamh Colum Kill Club probably contacted the Crow Park and also contacted the Donegal County Board, going through what they would have considered to be the proper channels to seek permission to get the competition or to get this event run off. And they would have contacted them in the week or the two leading up to that. I mean, most club secretaries will know now, Tom, that, you know, the GAA over recent years has really very much tightened up on challenge matches and tournaments and so on. Like, you know, and a lot of that's driven because of the kind of the claims culture that has grown up
insurance,
exactly. So a lot of that, you know, we know that, you know, players as young as under 8 are made wear gum shields for insurance reasons. Like, you know, Bert's playing St Eunan's in a under 8, under 10 hurley matches on Friday night, and the bureaucracy requires that we seek permission in advance to play an under 8, under 10 hurley match. What, you know, what harm is ever going to come in an under 8 or under 10 hurley match? But that's where the GAA has moved over recent years. The because of the claims culture in the country and at large, because the GAA has been in the past targeted,
so it's really tightened up.
So probably when the request came in, instead of looking at the request on its own merits, the GAA very possibly just did what they always did. Alarm bells started going off, red flags, and they were worried that a 50-year-old man might fall and break his leg and make a claim against him. So on the basis of that, we'll just not let you do not.
So it's not a case of, you know, and I suppose a lot of people jumped on this when it came out on social media first. It's the GAA being anti-soccer and not allowing foreign games and all that.
No, I don't think it is, because they haven't, because it's a different rule that covers the control of pitches for GAA purposes. Like, so that they have, the Newton Club haven't been penalised under Rule 5 or 5.1, whatever that is now, for the, you know, the control of pitches. They've been penalised under the unauthorised tournament, which is as though it's considered it to have been a proper GAA tournament, and that's what they've been penalised under. Ironically enough, Tom, I mean, we'll remember the furore over the Parky Kiev,
the Liam Miller match
last year. At Congress earlier this year, the GAA changed the rules, and they said the county grounds could now be used for such events as, you know, Central Council or GAA management might see fit. So ironically enough, had the Niamh Colum Kill Club sought permission, perhaps, to host this competition on the Cool Park, they might have been able to do that. But why would they have to take it out of their own community when they're trying to support one of their own community? It just shows you, like, you know, I mean, look, what seems to have happened, and not for the first time, is that the GAA rulebook has collided with the way that life is lived, the way that modern life is lived, and the way modern things are done there.
Or is it a breakdown?
Coming off the worst, like.
Or is it a breakdown in communication? You know, maybe it's just, you know, the lines of communication not properly, you know, in terms of somebody, as you say, in Crow Park reading the St Cees tournament, when, and they didn't maybe see read the small print.
Exactly. Exactly. Look, I mean, and we know that they take a very much a one size fits all approach, like, you know, and you know, maybe, you know, if you know, it's an awful shame that something so good that was done, and that the Niamh Columbkill Club that was playing its part in you know, making its contribution to this overwhelming community effort. Like, a lot of fundraising that you'd see, Tom, done around the country runs for, you know, weeks and months and ages, and never seems to end. Like, you know, this was a very sharp and short, focused 5 or 6 week period where an awful amount of fundraising was done overall.
I think 85,000 was.
They raised 85,000. More has probably come in since, like, but they raised 85,000 euro in that very short window. Money that's already been put to work with putting in a wheelchair ramp and extending the downstairs and putting maybe a toilet and a bedroom downstairs, because Paul isn't going to be able to use the stairs in his home and so on anymore. And I mean, that's what this tournament was about, was raising funds for that. And somehow, because they've got them, because the association here in their own county and the association in Croke Park, because they've got themselves tied up and just looking at the tunnel of the rule book only, they have set aside common sense and human empathy, and they've come down like a ton of bricks on a club that was only standing up for one of its own.
We weep times for the
self-inflicted own goals that the GA puts on itself.
And this proposed ban that has been imposed by the Donegal County Board, they issued a statement today, and I just read the statement for you. They put it up on their own website. In clarification, the statement continues: the club is not currently suspended, but the findings of an investigation has recommended a suspension for 8 weeks. This, they add, is minimum period of suspension for holding an unauthorised tournament. The statement concludes that due process shall take place, and Niamh Columbkill have the right to prove these findings incorrect or misapplied. CLG Donegal are unable to make any further comments on the matter until it is resolved in its entirety, and all avenues of appeal open to CLG Niamh Columbkill are exhausted. The county board are saying that basically their hands were tied and they had to, once the word tournament was issued. But they're also saying that it's only a proposed ban. But that's like all suspensions. If I get suspended for a month for hitting you or striking you or whatever, it's a proposed ban until I either accept it or appeal it. Isn't that correct?
Exactly. That's exactly. So it's following the same processes as would be if someone got sent off in the course of a game for clipping someone. And at that stage, most people, you know, will be familiar with that. You get a match ban for a strike. You get a longer ban if you hit someone a kick and so on, right? So the ban has been proposed by the management committee. That's the executive of the county board. They have an investigation was carried out by the CCC. Findings was produced, presented to the management committee. The management committee has looked at the rule book and said, this is the infringement, and our hands is tied, and therefore we're proposing this ban. Yeah. And the Niamh Columbkill Club have said, we don't accept the ban, we're seeking a hearing, and they'll be looking for the hearing. I know the Niamh Columbkill Club, and like actually everyone involved in GA in this county and probably further afield, would like to see this resolved sooner rather than later. But, you know, it is the Easter period, there's Easter holidays and so on, you know, but it'll be down to when the hearings committee meets. So at
the
moment,
it's the Donegal hearings committee that will hear us.
It's the Donegal hearings committee, because, yeah, this still remains an internal Donegal matter. So the Donegal hearings committee will hear, and they will adjudicate. They will either uphold the ban as was proposed by the county management committee, or they will overturn it. And if they were to uphold the ban, the suspension, the 8 week suspension, would take effect from that moment, and then avenues of appeal then for the Niamh Columbkill Club, in the first instance the provincial council, in the second instance the central appeals committee, and in the final analysis the disputes resolution authority.
And
I mean, that would take probably 8 weeks if you were going down all those roads. Like,
yeah,
and in the meantime,
once the Donegal Hearings Committee hear the case and say if they uphold the decision of the County Management Committee, the ban kicks in.
The ban will kick in that night. Literally, I think, from the moment that decision is reached. Like, so, I mean,
so,
you know, at some stage...
So there's no way that Niamh Columbkill can drag this out and get their games played and eventually have it heard at Christmas.
No, not at all. No, I can't. I don't think. I think the process now will be, you know, they've sought the hearing. The hearings committee will set a date for the hearing. The sooner the better. In my view, that should be done. It really shouldn't. You know, Easter, yes, we acknowledge, and volunteers might be away and so on, but there should be enough people between the hearings committee, the management committee of the county board and the Neave Columkill Club. I'm sure they can all get a couple of two representatives each to come along to this very important hearing to try and resolve and try and find some kind of resolution that will be satisfactory here.
Yeah, because it certainly has grabbed a lot of attention, and it's not good press or good publicity for the GAA nationally, locally, or I'm sure even in the Neave Columkill Club.
Because I was speaking to someone today who was saying that, you know, in a local shop, people were saying the Neave Columkill Lotto should be taken off the counter in the local shop. But for what? What have Neave Columkill done? All Neave Columkill have done is help facilitate and run a tournament on their grounds.
Yeah.
And because of the proposed suspension that's been applied to them, they now are being slaughtered in their own community.
For
literally running a tournament to raise money for one of their own.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely terrible that that it has come to this. It's completely out of whack.
It's hard to make a defence for the Donegal board or the GAA at national level, but having said that, going literally by the letter of the law, they're correct.
They may be. Like, there probably is a wee bit of wriggle room there in terms of, you know, whether or not, you know, it says clubs are liable for suspension. Like, liable doesn't mean that they shall be suspended. You know, they might or they might not, like, you know. But, I mean, it really didn't need to be treated in this way. And if the GAA centrally is so panicked about, you know, claims coming in because of an over 40s and over 50s game that someone's getting injured, well, do what I'd like to do for the Masters teams, and, you know, have the players and have the participants sign waivers so that they, you know, there must be a more creative way of surmounting the likes of this rather than having a club go ahead with an event like this in the best of good faith and with the best of intentions and in the context of raising money for one of their own, and then end up with an 8-week ban, the opprobrium of their community raining down on them, and the GAA looking like just looking terrible in the eyes of the wider community, not just here in Donegal, but further afield as well. I mean, God of Almighty, it shouldn't really be comfortable.
Oh, Damien, look, thanks for bringing the story to us, and thanks for breaking it initially. And we need actually to go for a break before we go to Sean Clark in here. Hopefully that situation is resolved pretty soon. That's Damien Dowes there of the Inishowen Independent. So yeah. We're not going for a break. We're going straight to Sean Clarkin, who is the assistant manager of the Donegal minor football team. Of course, they're in action, opened their Ulster Championship campaign on Saturday evening against Tyrone in Sean McCool Park in Ballybuffet.
Well, Sean, all set at this stage. We're getting close to it probably anyway for the opening round of the Ulster Minor Championship. Very early this year.
It is, Tom. It's not the same as last year. It is early, I suppose, given it's coming very quickly. I suppose the end of April, I think maybe I'm stand corrected in this one, but I think maybe is the minor or the Ulster final still on the second Sunday in July, or has that changed?
I'm not sure.
But if it is, you know, I mean, you're talking May, June, July, you know, you're talking 3 month period here, you know, in terms of playing games, so it is probably quite early.
Yeah. Anyway, how has preparations gone? I know you had a mixed, minor league, 1-2, lost 2.
Yes, but it's the beauty of the minors, maybe over the 20s, Tom, is that you have 4 league games there to test and try players. So I suppose we went out to win all those games. We were want to be competitive. We lost, I suppose we played for Manon Ballyshannon. For Manon, we were very short that day in terms of the lads was involved with Inniskillen and the McCrory, so it wasn't a tough game there. Then we had, I suppose, Tyrone next, and Tyrone beat us by
2 points
in Strabane. They were the better team that day and probably deserved to win. And then we had Sligo, and Sligo quite a good team again, very competitive game, and they maybe it could have went anyway, but Sligo got it by a point. And then with our last game there with Cav in the game, which we, you know, we won it probably hand enough in the end. So, but again, you know, it's great to have those games, and it gives young players and it gives management an opportunity to look at those players.
I saw both the Sligo game and the Cavan game, and I thought there was a vast improvement in Donegal from the Sligo game to the Cavan game.
Well, I suppose suppose Gary, you know, has been trying to work on a system, and I suppose that system starts, Tom, and look at what the players around you and what they're capable of doing and what their level is. So Gary probably is one of those people who started and tried to work in the system in the beginning of the league, and I suppose when it got to the Cavan game, these lads are getting used to, you know, what the type of football he wants to play and the different roles he has given them to play, you know what I mean? So it was maybe against Cavan that was more prudent on that day.
Yeah. Well, I thought they were more attack-minded and more adventurous and, shall we, more offensive than defensive.
Yes. Well, that's been his. You know, we haven't been, to be honest, Tommy, yes, there's a defensive element to it, but in terms, Gary is one of those coaches who he wants to see a team attacking. He wants them to move the ball quite quickly, you know what I mean? He wants them to express themselves on the ball. And you know, but, you know, as well, Tom, you have to understand here, we're dealing with, you know, 16, 17-year-olds. Not that long ago, they were playing with ties. So, you know yourself, there's time and to teach them and to get them to buy into a system. It takes time as well.
Yeah. I suppose it's very hard to judge teams, but I suppose the one thing we can judge them on to a certain extent is you've played Tyrone, as you said already. They probably deserved to win it on the day. And they had quite a strong team out that day, because I was comparing the team that played you and played Monaghan and won the league final. No difference.
Well, they would have been short now, Tom. They would have been short, the old CBS guys. They would have been short Daniel Fullerton there, who was on the centre-half forward for Oma. They would have been short young McLean, a middle of field, who he's not with Oma, but he wasn't available that day. He's probably one of the most physical, big, strongest player on any squad in Ulster, maybe in Ireland. And they were missing maybe a couple other, I think maybe a McGrory lad there that was on. There were four or five of them. Sweeney from Carrickmore would have been on the McGrory team. So missing them three or four, but crucially there was, you know, two or three who are very, very strong players. They're missing on that date, you know. But and saying that, you're quite correct. They probably had maybe 10, maybe, of the team that played us that played in the league final last Saturday.
Yeah, and they won that as well. So they're taking an unbeaten run into the league, into the championship.
Well, they are, Tom. You know what I mean? And I think if we look at the last 4 or 5 years, the team that's won the league has won the championship. So, and you know yourself, you can't beat winning ways, and you can't beat a team that knows how to win. And I suppose again, Tyrone in the final against Monaghan were maybe 5-6 points down at half time, and they picked it up the second half, and that game ended level at full time. But Tyrone then won it easily in extra time. I suppose that's probably down to the standard of a panel. Probably Monaghan, you know, like a lot of counties, small enough panel, maybe 16, 17 players, while Tyrone, much bigger panel, and maybe the players come in and made the difference. I think they run out in that game, they won it by 7 points.
And tell me, did you get to use many players in the course of your league?
We did, Tom, we did. We used a good few players. I would say there's no doubt we played maybe 26, 27, 28 players played through the league. We certainly played a good few of the players, maybe more. Games. I suppose, to be honest, Tom, we had two tough games, and then we had two games that weren't as strong and give us an opportunity then to run out and give other players a test.
And I know you mentioned the under-16s earlier. You have drafted in a number of those since the Bunclana Cup.
Well, again, Tom, Gary decided that, I suppose, in the interest of young lads, that he would leave the under-16s with the under-16 squad, rather than take them in, having some of them with us, and then they're with the 16s, and then the under-16 leagues started as well. So I suppose at the beginning of the year, it was probably unfair to have these lads to involve in too many squads. But then, I suppose, we can look at different ways, you know what I mean? Those lads come in, those lads were left with the 16s, we've taken in four on there, four very good footballers, four very talented young players, but mm-hmm. we see them mixed with our lads now. They're probably not the same fitness levels as our lads, and they're not probably as strong in terms of standard conditioning. And I suppose if we look at Tyrone and Derry used their 16s with the 17 team. And if we go back maybe to the the Lochlann final against Derry. Derry were much the stronger team. Even though score maybe then, but Derry were never in bother. Were a much stronger team against Donegal in the Lochlann final. But the four or five players, a couple of Downies and them who had played with the 17s, probably made the difference. You know what I mean? And as I said, you're ready. Is it a good decision? Is it a bad decision? I suppose for us, we feel it's a good enough decision because it gives us an opportunity with four or five 17-year-olds to give them the opportunity to develop, which some of them have. And I suppose over time, as with more players now available.
And tell me, just remind us again who those under 16s are.
The 16 players have come in are Drew McKinney from Muff, Cian Rooney from Ballyshannon, David O'Boyle from Letterkenny, Christopher Mulligan from Kinnebegs, and we probably have another one or two, Tom, to take a look at. Yeah. But I suppose at this stage, to be honest, hopefully, you know, we get a run and these lads will get an opportunity to develop because they are, as I say, they are quite talented young players. But I say maybe, as I said already, maybe we were behind in terms of fitness levels and maybe in terms of strength. But hopefully we get a wee run at these lads will benefit.
And do you feel you have your best 15 at this stage? Do you know them or the best 20?
Well, we have a fair idea of them, Tom. I suppose Gary, from day one, decided to build a panel of players. And that's what we have done. So we probably have, maybe this stage, 22 or 3 players who have played a fair bit of football in the league and who we trust them in trial. So maybe that was Gary's, one of his goals from day one, is not to maybe look at the bare 15. I suppose, as you know, the way the game is played nowadays, you need a panel of 21, 22 every day you go out, you know, give you different options.
And how has preparations gone in the last couple of weeks now since the league?
Good, you know, we've got a good run out. You know, we were out of the, I suppose we didn't qualify for the league or the second phase of it either, so it gave us an opportunity there to concentrate. I suppose, as you said there earlier, maybe in the Cavan game, we've got more work in terms of Gary wanting how we want the team to play and the different systems and the different roles to get players to play. So maybe we've got maybe more of an opportunity to work on that.
Yeah. And in terms of fitness, have you got everybody?
We have a couple of wee knee injuries, Tom, that always be there when you're dealing with a squad. We hopefully, Owen De Burka is carrying a knee injury and probably at this stage is 50-50, as Carlos O'Reilly as well is carrying, you know, Senna Rooney is also carrying a slight injury. You know, so, you know, those couple of players, you'll always get that in any panel, you know what I mean? But hopefully, I think we're hopeful enough for Senna, but the other two players maybe are in doubt at this stage.
And Carlos O'Reilly, what's his injury?
It's actually a blow to the shin, which caused a fair bit of bruising, you know what I mean, and soreness in it and limping there. So we're hoping, you know, with treatment and all, that Carlos may be okay.
Yeah. And tell me, the game at home, obviously, Tyrone on the back of their league form are going to come in as favourites. You won't mind that. You're at home, worth a point or two?
Well, yes. Well, it is, because I suppose the lads here, they had the Cavan game and the Sligo game at Ballybuffet, so that was two games by the benefit, you know. We certainly know that Tyrone are a good side, and Collie Holmes is in charge, and there'll be no stone left unturned there. You know, there's probably different, well, in latter years I've noticed that Tyrone have got more physically stronger. Years ago we would have more related Tyrone to smaller sides, but there's a physically big, strong midfield. Their two midfielders are, I would say, 6'3", 4+. You know, they're a big side, they're a good footballing side. I think they, you know, with the Oma lads in there, the experience they picked up, you know, Carrickmore, a very strong under 16 team last year that won the Conor McGurr, you know what I mean? So you have a number of other lads there in Tyrone who have been playing McGorry. So they're coming typically a Tyrone team that are very strong. And as you have said there already, they're after having a good run in the league. They're unbeaten, they won a league final. I'm sure morale in the camp is very high. And they won't be afraid to come to McCool Park to play Donegal.
John Clerkin there, the Donegal assistant manager of the minor football team. They're playing Tyrone on Saturday evening in McCool Park. 6 o'clock throw-in from that one. Cavan and Fermanagh, Derry and Armagh and Antrim and Monaghan are the other games in that. My thanks tonight to Damien Dowd, to Sean Clerkin, and as always the old reliable Jimmy Stafford, Aaron Foam. Good evening, Shockton Jogan from Tom Comex, Donald Mannix.